My name is Jennifer Krong from the Assist Learning Podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook Podcast, a daily show to equip, inform, and inspire educators to teach with less reliance on the textbook through technology, creativity, and innovation. I'm your host, Matt Miller. Let's get started. This is episode 141 of the Ditch That Textbook Podcast, a member of the Education Podcast Network, coming to you today from the Ditch That Textbook World headquarters in my house here in West Central Indiana. I'm going to be heading over to New Jersey this week to go to the NJASA Texpo event where I'll be given the keynote speech. So if you are a New Jersey person or someone near New Jersey who might be going to that, I would love to get in touch with you while you're over there. I'm hoping also to be able to bring back some interviews from that event here on the podcast. Of course, sometimes our best laid plans don't always work out as we had hoped. So kind of like with the FETC conference a couple weeks ago, it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to interview all these people at this event in Miami. And then I got one and it was a good one. But anyway, that's what I'm hoping to do. I wanted to share with you some takeaways from this book that I've been diving into recently. The book is Culturally Responsive Teaching and the Brain by Zaretta Hammond. It says, promoting authentic engagement and rigor among culturally and linguistically diverse students. And as I've gotten into this book, it just feels like it just totally speaks to everything that I'm excited about in education right now, because it does talk about the brain and learning about how the brain learns and how the brain works. And you know, I really believe that if we can figure that part out, then that's, you know, that's one of our best ways to help students to be able to learn and remember things. And that's super important. And then there's the culturally responsive side, making sure that we are teaching in a way that all of our students are able to learn and to learn in their best ways, and making sure that they feel like they are reflected in the classroom. And so she has all sorts of great insights all throughout this book. And one of the things that I really, really love about it is that it is so based in cognitive science. And so with that part in mind, I want to share a couple of things over a couple of episodes here of some things that she shares that are really, really good. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to look at this book, Culturally Responsive Teaching and the Brain, it's a fantastic, fantastic read. You can pick it up. I think it's even available in audiobook. I don't have any sort of skin in the game when it comes to this book. I just want to recommend it because it's so good. But she does touch on the neuroscience of information processing. Don't go to sleep. I promise this is super useful. I always just fear that whenever I start talking about, you know, neuroscience and cognitive science and stuff, that you guys are going to like tune out. So hopefully you're nerdy about this like I am too. But she touches on the three parts of information processing, of how we get information into our brain. And it basically is the short-term memory, the working memory, and the long-term memory. And so the short-term memory, she talks about input. You know, that's where it's actually coming into our brain. This is where our brain decides what information it should pay attention to. And we've got all of these different filters to keep things out that our brain has decided is not important. But the short-term memory is where it all starts. She says, think of the short-term memory as a clipboard. She's got all of these kind of like visuals and comparisons that I think are really useful. And so the short-term memory can only hold a few bits of information, and it stays there for 5 to 20 seconds before it begins to fade to make room for more new information. So if you can imagine all of this stuff coming into the clipboard, so to speak, and you only have so much time before you decide if it goes on. It makes me think of that old I Love Lucy episode, that iconic one with the chocolate factory. And it's like there's so much coming at you, you can only pick up so much. She goes on to the second part, which is elaboration, which is the working memory. And the working memory is basically once it's been held on to, this is the 5 to 20 minutes that you've got to begin processing the input. And she calls this the tabletop or the workbench. So if it was the clipboard before, now we're putting it onto the workbench or the tabletop to actually do some work with it. And she says that when we introduce culturally responsive processing tools like movement, repetition, story, metaphor, and music, these really help the brain to process. I'm going to get into those in another episode. But it stays in this working memory for 5 to 20 minutes. And, you know, after that, she even says after it's been in the working memory for a little bit, our brain can only take so much of this at a time. And so it cycles down. After it's done this processing for a little while, she says our brains can do active processing for 12 to 20 minutes based on age. For example, in a 40-minute middle school lesson, the brain processes for 12 to 15 minutes before it cycles down for 10 minutes. And then she says, I thought this was brilliant. This is so true. Regardless of if the teacher is still talking or not, it will stop paying attention. Like, it is part of our makeup, our brain's makeup to do that. And then when it comes to the application phase, which is the long-term memory, she says we have 24 to 48 hours to revisit, review, and apply what we've learned in order to make it permanent and move it to long-term memory. 24 to 48 hours. And so I just thought this was fascinating, the way that she laid this out and gave us times on all of it, that the short-term memory is measured in seconds, the working memory is measured in minutes, and then the long-term memory is measured in hours. And that's kind of like the cycle that we've got to be able to work through those. And if you're not thinking about your instruction and the way that your students are getting new information in those cycles, this could be really, really helpful. So again, that cycle is short-term memory, you have seconds, working memory, you have minutes. There's the 12 to 20 minutes before it cycles down, and then you've got 24 to 48 hours to go back over it to make it permanent.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love it, be sure to leave a review and rating on iTunes to help others find the show. Thanks for listening, and happy ditching.